Hey, everybody, welcome to Horizon Podcast, episode 11, a podcast empowering women to heal, overcome trauma, embrace change. Through our community, we strive to inspire women to create a future where they lead with love, confidence, courage, and help break boundaries and reach new horizons. Hey, guys, welcome to episode 11. Woo woo! Episode 11. I hope everyone's doing good. I hope you guys tuned in to episode 10. This episode, we're going to talk a little bit of like how I got to be, how I became an entrepreneur. You know, on the last one, we spoke about me being first generation here, being firstborn, things like that. And on this one, I wanted to kind of fill you guys in on how I became an entrepreneur, business owner, and how I got to where I am at today. Hoping to inspire some of you out there to go after your passions and what you enjoy doing, because that can definitely make you profit and it can turn into a career. But let me start you off with how I got into the industry. It was honestly, I would say it was probably everything is God. I'll tell you that first of all, but I became a mom at 21. I got pregnant at 20, became a mom at 21. I went to school for surgical technician. I did. Tell me what I remember. But there's my debt. I'll tell you that's still there for sure. Still paying that off. Went almost graduated from there. I actually had to do my clinicals. Yeah, I know. Dumb. I was so close. I had to do my clinicals, but at the time it was either that or a job. And a couple other things interfered with it as well. I got hired into, I had a bunch of little side jobs. Like I used to work at like clothing stores. I used to work at the mall, things like that. Waitressing, nothing crazy, nothing serious. I always knew growing up, I'll tell you this, I'm a big dreamer. I recently discovered that about myself. I dream big. And I remember thinking like, I'm going to have a house by 21. I'm going to have a car by this, you know, all those beautiful dreams. And then I turned 18 and went crazy because my mom did not let me out of the house until I turned 18. And not only that, but like I said, if you tune into the previous episode, I was the firstborn of four. So I was needed a lot. And so when I turned 18, which don't ever do that. Don't ever not let your children like step outside. At least let them go to the mailbox. I don't know. Be there if you want to, but don't cage your children because that's not healthy. Because then what happens is that we go buck wild when we're free. And that's not fun either. So I turned 18, just kind of lived it up. Didn't really have a sense of like what I wanted to do with my life, I'll be honest with you. And like I've said before, my mom is an entrepreneur. She had a lot of jobs too, but she is and has been for the past year. I don't know, many years, a entrepreneur. And I always knew growing up that I didn't want to work for someone. I wanted to work for myself. I felt it in my bones, but I don't remember thinking what I was. I don't remember what I wanted to do. I don't remember any of that. I just knew that I wanted to work for myself. Like I said, I tried all those different jobs. I ended up from my surgical tech schooling, I ended up getting a job at AT&T. And the way that I got that job, let me tell you about one of the worst interviews ever. I had one of the worst interviews ever, okay? Because I had an asthma attack during it. I started crying. It was pretty bad. And it was crazy because I went in with my resume and the only thing that I had on my resume was that I sold sausages at the mall for my ex-mother-in-law used to run a Hickory Farms, if anybody's familiar with that. It's like sausages and like crackers and things like that. So that was probably the only thing I had on my resume, to be honest with you. So to me, it was like, well, if I could sell sausage and be like number one, you know, I can sell anything. So I went in, had my baby too. So I was going through postpartum. I did experience that with my first child. I didn't experience that with my second, but I did experience that with my first. And it's real. So for any of my moms that are going through postpartum, I understand. And it's not easy. I get it. And we'll talk about that probably another time. But so then I went to this interview. Like I said, it was shit. I don't know if they felt bad for me because I cried and didn't have my inhaler and I had a whole asthma attack, but they called me back and I got the job. I ended up working for AT&T for about 5 years, 6 years, I want to say. I got wrongfully terminated. And then they gave me a check after that because we had a union and they fought and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't a big check after taxes and all that, but whatever. But the point of all that, right, is because that led me to where I am at now. And if I hadn't gotten terminated, basically get out, right, I wouldn't have started my business. At the time, my plan was I was working full time at AT&T. And then from there, I was working full time at AT&T. And then I was going to some trainings for microblading. That's how I first started in the beauty industry. It was microblading. And it was back in 2018. And at the time, the beauty industry wasn't that big, especially PMU, permanent makeup, or microblading. That was so new to the industry. And I remember looking into it and I was like, okay, this is something that I want to learn. So after being in the company AT&T for 5-6 years, I started training in that, in microblading, with the plans of like, after I learn how to microblade, I will go part-time on my career at the time, AT&T. And then I will, and I was one of your top sale reps too. So then I was like, my plan was I'll go part-time and then I'll go into microblading and do that part-time too. And as my business grows, I'll let go of AT&T and I'll get into the industry full-time, microblading full-time. So microblading originally got me into the industry. And then after that, I decided to add more because, okay, so after I got fired, it led me to rent a little spot. My mom had a friend and she had a barbershop. I started at a barbershop, a Mexican barbershop. Okay. She had a little room in the back and I was like, that's all I need. I can't do it out of my home. Because at the time I was living with my family, it was full house. I had no extra spare rooms. So she let me rent her little room in Ontario, a little barbershop. And I started there. I saw that microblading people at the time didn't know what it was and it's a tattoo on your face. So they weren't so trusting to want to invest into it. So then I was like, what else can I add? Then I started getting my lashes done. And I was like, oh, I like this. So then I started looking into courses and I found a 1-day course. I think it was like 4 hours in Arcadia. I believe that's where it was. And it was shit. I'll be honest with you. Now that I am in this industry, it was horrible. But you know what? That certificate, what it did for me after those 4 hours, it's that it gave me the confidence that I needed. And it basically, it was a psychological thing where it made me believe that now I am a lash tech. So now I'm going to get into doing it. And it was about $650 for 4 hours. And it was like, I want to say it was like 6 girls at once. Yeah. So they were making that like once I now in the industry, they were making. And at the time, that's good because it wasn't big. It wasn't big. So I remember I got my little kit. there was nothing. And then my little certificate. And then I was like, cool, I'm going to add this service to my my beauty. At the time, my name was Bella Rose Brows. That was my name at the time. And then when I added lashes, I changed it to Beauty by Bella Rose. And Bella Rose is my children's middle name. So Bella is my oldest, Rose is my little one. Now we're BXBR, short term, easier to say. I learned a lot. So from there, I added, like I said, I added lashes. I went full throttle with it. Didn't know what I was doing at all. Like I said, I had 4 hours of training. How much can you learn in 4 hours? And I don't even remember what they taught me now, thinking back, to be honest with you. But what I did do is at the time, whatever Instagram, whatever YouTube was like my teacher, okay? And I am a hands-on learner. I don't, my attention span is not the greatest, and I am not a schoolgirl. I know that, okay? I am a street girl. I learn and I am hands-on. I am visual. I hear, I listen, I do whatever, all that, right? So I started teaching myself how to lash. The course was only classics, now that I remember. So then I taught myself how to fan, and I taught myself the diameters. I taught myself absolutely everything that I know. Okay, everything. I looked it up. I Googled it. Whatever information there was at the time, and there wasn't a lot, like now there is. There's literally free everything. You have TikTok. You have TikTok lives. Girls are showing you how to do this. Instagram, Facebook. There's so many platforms that you can literally educate yourself on. At the time, I didn't have that. Anyways, I taught myself, added it to my menu. I got people coming in. I was spending 5 to 6 hours on one person at a time. How they dealt with me, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how they sat there and laid there for hours. I remember one time I was trying to do like a freestyle, trying things. I took, I think, 7 hours, no lunch, just practicing straight. Got up, stretched, and then continued. And I was like, oh, I like it. But it was very time consuming. I think people don't understand in the industry, because I'm also an educator, and they think that they're going to come in the industry, it's so easy. How hard is it to put a lash on top of another lash and da 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 da? It's not that easy. Okay. It takes a lot of patience. It's very, it's a very articulate art, I like to call it. And it's not meant for everybody. You have to have the patience, you have to have the passion for it, you have to like it, and you have to have patience is like key in here, okay? Because you're starting off sets, normally starting off 4 or 5 hours, okay? We have anywhere between 150 to 250, depending on your ethnicity, depending on how much hair on each lash, and if we're lashing each one, that's going to take a long time. So I taught myself all of that, right? And I loved it. I started doing more. I did promotions. I utilized social media at the time for what it was. And this was back in 2018, okay? I got my certificate, I think it was August or the end of July. I got fired in June. Was it June or May? Around there, okay? And I got straight to it. I said, I'm not going to go back to the work field working under somebody. This is my opportunity to do what I want to do. Even though microblading wasn't hitting, lashes started hitting. So then I started, like I said, doing promotions. I literally learned everything that I know now that I teach on my own. And it was just by trial and error. And I don't think that there's no better experience than trial and error, you learning it yourself. So I started out of this little back room, started offering lashes. People started coming in, old coworkers, new people. I still have some of my first girls with me to this day. Okay. So that's loyalty. And we've grown together. And that relationship, you can only imagine. And they've come to me every 2 to 3 weeks for the past 5 to 6 years. So just think about the investment. And it's not just an investment financially, but it's an investment in relationship. Okay. Shout out to them. Shout out Shout out to you guys. So we've grown. So, okay. So then that was my first year. I remember doing my accounting. It was, I want to say November of 2019, where I first hit what I used to make at AT&T. And at the time it was hourly and then it was commission. So I remember, I think it was that November, I have it written down. And I remember I did my accounting and I think I made like 4,000. And at the time that was good. 2018, you know, things are not expensive. That was good. Right. And I was like, oh my God. And it was, my sets were still taking me about, I was trying to take now 2.5 hours to 3 hours max on a full set. On fills, it was about 2 hours or so. So it was still a continuous, literally practice is going to get you to move faster. That's the best advice. If you're thinking that your time is going to cut down and you do it every so often, that's not the case. Okay. I literally lived, breathed everything, lash extensions. I stopped doing microblading. I started focusing strictly on lash extensions because microblading, I was having a hard time getting clients and I was having a hard time with the mapping. I'll be honest with you, the mapping and then the color shading with the clients. So I kind of veered off that because that's more semi-permanent and stuck to lashes. I loved it. Within the year, like I said, I made about $4,000 and then I started teaching. Let me tell you this though. This is probably going to be controversial and it's okay. I started with no license. Okay. I started with, I need to feed my family and I don't want to go back to the work field and work for anybody. And I'm going to give this a shot. I didn't know at the time that I was going to be this good. I was going to like it. It was going to grow into what it's grown. And here we are. I started without a license. So I'm not going to lie. When I hear a lot of these beauty industry women bash on girls, women that start in the industry without a license, to me, and y'all can come for me, I don't care, okay? Because I'll tell you this, I started without a license. I created a whole business, a very successful business, where within a year and a half, I was able to get my own place. Not only get my own place, but within 2 years, I was able to get my own studio where I was teaching and I was having 7 girls under me in my own studio, lashing that I trained. So to say the least is that I'm not trying to sit here and say that you should get in the industry, not have your license. No, I went to school. I went to esthetician school in 2021 and I went and got my license. I was working full time and I was going to school after. I wouldn't get home. I would literally have 14. So the way that I function now is because of my schedule. I made it happen. Being a mom and at the time being a fiance and running a full business and having girls under me. So my thing is like, don't get discouraged when you hear other beauty industry entrepreneurs and artists tell you that you have to have this. Yes, you do have to have it legally for you to be able to work in a place like this, for you to be able to run your business and do all that. You do have to have your licensing, your paperwork, all of that. Okay. So don't think that I'm saying don't get it. No, but what I'm saying is if you're thinking of starting something, start it. You never know what it's going to grow into. After, invest into it. And let me tell you what I got out of esthetician school. First of all, they don't teach you shit. They don't. Okay. I went to the nearest school that was next to me that worked with my schedule, which was, I'm not going to say the name, but I'm sure everybody knows they're all over the place. They had a 5:30 to 9:00. And it was part-time, and that's what worked for my schedule. I didn't learn shit. We were switching teachers all the time. We had a new teacher every month because they quit. Nobody could teach us anything. We taught ourselves as students. We Googled it. Whoever was a waxer would teach us. Whoever was a lash artist would teach us. And to be honest with you, as a lash artist and lash educator, they don't teach you lashes, okay? They don't teach you any of that. You know what they taught me? Here, put a strip on a mannequin. But I have to have that, and I have to have the hours. So for these women that say, if you don't have an esthetician license, you're not a real You're not a real artist. First of all, I taught myself everything that I know myself. Okay. That's number one. Number two, I was before I learned, okay, what barbicide was, what sanitation was, what clean tools were, which is what esthetician school basically gives you. But they didn't teach me lashing. So how is it my 680 hours that I had to do with my $12,000 that I paid for cash, okay, because I was working at the time and had that, blessed to have that, okay, going to tell me that I'm a real artist, right, when in reality you didn't teach me my skill, you didn't teach me my career, but I get it because we are in a state and it's mandatory. So like I said, you do have to have your esthetician license and you do have to have your paperwork. So you will have to invest in that if you see your career here. But I didn't start off that way. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't planned. I didn't even know what none of that stuff was. I learned it as I was growing in my career. You know, do you have this? Do you have that? At the time when you go to a building, they rent you. They don't, some of them, depending on the city, depending on the landlord, they do ask you what it is or what it isn't. At the time, I was saying that it was permanent makeup. So I just had all my licensing for that. And then I was doing the lashing. And then I went to esthetician school, got all that going on. So yeah, I kind of did work a little dirty for a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. I had to feed my family. And I don't want to say that I'm ashamed of it either, though, to be honest, I'm not. But what I'm saying is, like, it's this bashing in the industry is so ugly to me because I did the work and they didn't teach me anything. Literally, facials, products, all that stuff. And I mean, I want all my esthetician or my cosmetology or what, all of you girlies to, we all had the same complaints. So how am I paying so much money for the schooling for this paper? It's literally this paper. And I went with the intent of, I don't care about facials. I don't care about waxing. My career is lash extensions. At the time I wasn't trying to add any of that. So they weren't teaching me that, like I said. So, and even the things that they were supposed to teach, like facials and waxing, wasn't even taught either because we didn't have educators. But here I have to go and pay for this paper. So anyways, I went and did do that. I went and got it after I established my business. If you're working from home, you're going to have to eventually get it too. Things like that. There's so many regulations, not that they changed after COVID because a lot of people got in the industry during COVID because people lost their jobs. So they needed a side hustle. So the COVID times I became the most successful because I was educating. And I was educating enough. I also don't believe in over-educating students because I am a woman of where, like, I'm not here to take your money just because you want to give it to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ethical. Yes. And my thing is that my classes were four to five people max. Four or five people max because I have to make sure I'm hands-on to all of them. At the time, it was 2 days for just the beginning, which is classics and learning how to fan. So then I started teaching about, and people are going to be mad. I started teaching about a year and a half. I started teaching people what I had taught myself. And I saw that it became really good. It was 2019 going into 2020, and then COVID happened, and then yeah. So I got into teaching. Not only was I lashing, I was teaching as well. So it was like my most successful. BXBR was known. Beauty by Bella Rose was known in the Inland Empire. I was educating a lot of girls. I've educated over 150 women and have helped mentor them into this career. And so I've always been a woman that has been wanting to help women. That's just been naturally who I am. And I remember that how it started is I think somebody asked me, like, why don't you teach? And I was like, well, what is that about? And I'll never forget my first students. And not everybody. And after doing it a while, you learn who is good, who is going to do good and who is not going to do good. You see the signs. You see. So, like I said, during COVID, I got really busy. Well, like the time after COVID, I got really busy and everybody was trying to learn lashing. That's when I learned who is going to be good and who's not going to be good and who has patience and who doesn't. A lot of people were like literally investing in a lot of different traits. So the traits were like cavitation, waxing, this and that. And they were just adding everything to their menu. Let me tell you something. You can't do that. And I'll tell you why. You cannot master one skill if you have five, one at a time. I'm not saying you can't do all of them. Yes, you can, but one at a time. So once you've mastered one, out of the next one. But when we're doing two, three at the same time, which one is your main focus that you're going to flourish in, that you're going to prioritize and make money out of? Because as soon as you do good in one, you already have clientele. So whatever else you add is going to basically, it's going to, yeah. So my thing is like, master one before you move on or add more. And like I said, I did. So I ended up having, I moved from my little back room, and I'm forever grateful to her for giving me a chance and allowing me to start. I got very blessed with that. And that's what I mean by God has literally been with me every step in everything in my life. Because if I hadn't got fired, I wouldn't have taken the leap and I wouldn't have stuck to this. And I just happened to run across the lash extensions because I got them done one day and then it became into a whole career. So I left the little barbershop, actually found a place across the street. So it was within the same area. Across the street, I had gotten a suite. And then next to the suite, there was a huge hall-looking studio, like a hall. It looked like a hall, like a quinceañera hall. And I remember one of my girls that I had, shout out to you, Alexi. She does my lashes. She's one of my first students too, turned into a friend now. Had asked me, she's like, why don't you, she actually brought up to my attention. She's like, why don't you make this into studios? And this was back in 2021. Yeah. So she's like, why don't you turn this into studios? Or no, she actually didn't say that. She said, why don't you rent me a chair? And I had my, what I had turned into my educating room. I had a couple of different chairs for my teaching. And she's like, why don't you rent me a chair? And I was like, oh girl, I don't know if that's going to work because I used to take my children with me because I didn't have a babysitter. So having my client and then my kids and then her kids, I didn't want that disruption. So I had gone into the room next door that was open, the hall, right? And I looked at it. It was about 3,000 to 4,000 square feet. Huge, 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 huge. My room was only 800 square feet. And it was at the third floor in downtown Ontario. So then I ended up going next door. At the time, I had called my ex and I was like, hey, I have an idea. What do you think? And he's like, go for it. So I was like, okay. I am the type of person that I realize that I don't think about shit. I just dive in and I'll figure it out when I'm there. And that's literally my life. And I've accepted that and I'm okay with that. So ended up renting it, rent, and ended up talking to the landlord, got a deal on it, and then started construction. Had my beautiful client who gave me a really good deal. Love you, Annabelle. And we got those. We got the studios going. It was just spaces. So we built spaces. And then from there, I was teaching. So then I would offer it to students. A lot of my clients became my students, and then they would rent out spaces in the same place. And what I don't understand in this industry is how people are, how are we hating on other women that do the same thing that we do when there's room for everyone? We all have different clientels. We all have different personalities. There is a client for everyone. And I would say I'm living proof of that because I had four other lash artists doing the same thing that I was doing that I educated under my business, and they were all thriving. So they all had their own type of clientele. So I learned right away. I mean, I've never been a hater. You won't catch that. I don't have that type of energy. I don't believe in that. And whatever. So I believe that there's room for everyone. I believe that everybody has a skill. Everybody's different. Everybody has different energies. Everybody has a different type of personality, and you will attract your brand. What they say about your brand is true. Your brand is a reflection of who you are. So however you present your brand is the type of people that you are going to attract. So I had a cavitation girl, which she went and started her own businesses, and she's successful from what I know. I had one, two, three, four lash artists. I had a waxer, and she was a lash artist too. I believe they're all still in the industry. Then I had a couple of renters after that. I was open for about 2 years, I want to say, until 2023, when I had to, because of my separation, I had to close down. So the industry is honestly, a lot of people say it's saturated. Yes, it is saturated, especially now because it's social media has made it very, very open to be out here. But I do believe that it's all on, I would say, response. You have to be responsible to run a business because you don't have somebody coming at you telling you what time you have to be at work or what your schedule is. You have to show up for yourself. Correct. So you have to be responsible. You have to have a certain type of maturity because you have to deal with clients, and you going off on your clients because they want to reschedule or cancel. Baby, that's not the way you run a business. Sorry, girls that are rude as fuck. You're not going to go far. Because you still have to have some sort of etiquette when you're talking to your clients. And remember, at the end of the day, let's be honest here, they're paying our bills, okay? Every client that walks through that door is giving you money. And let's be honest, they can do that service themselves or they can go somewhere else. So they choose to go with you. So if you're giving them shitty service, and that starts with your attitude, I can tell you right now that I learned right away that not all money is good money. I've said that before. And the reason why is because I can tell just off a text DM at the time before I had my booking app. It was through DM. So Instagram. Instagram is what grew me. Instagram was what grew me. And I was so consistent, and I was so, I always posted. Like, if I didn't post, I would take a hit. And that's what social media has been about this whole time. Okay. But it was free marketing at my fingertips. And I took advantage of it, and it grew my business. And then from there, it was word of mouth. So that's social media. Whoever says that social media is not a big deal, are you serious right now? People are getting paid millions to be on social media and post about their life. So I don't care. Anybody says I don't have social media, I don't believe in social media. Great. Good for you. But you know what? It's actually made a career for me and a lot of millions of other people's. So social media is a huge platform. If you choose whatever you choose to do with it, it's on you. But I choose to utilize it because this is where we're at nowadays. Let's stay caught up to where, to stay with the times, please. Jesus, I'm thinking on my nerves. Anyways, so I closed my business down, the studio part. So it was Beauty by Bella Rose. I remember at the beginning, it was Bella Rose Brows. Then I turned it into Beauty by Bella Rose. And then finally, I stuck with BXBR Studios as a whole, because I was also doing studios. I will say I was one of the first in the industry. I don't care. Like I said, y'all can come for me. I don't really care. Who started the studio trend? I did. And it was crazy because I was in a building of downstairs was Body X Jackie, she was downstairs and she also had studios. So she was definitely one of the first ones too. And I remember, I'll tell you, this is the funny part. I originally wanted that location. I had seen it. And I don't know why I didn't get it. Somehow I ended up on top of her. And then here we are. But so it was Jackie downstairs who has, she had a whole studio with different girls that did different things. Waxing, hair, lashes. She would send me a lot of people too. So mine hurts. That's her. I had upstairs lash, brows, some wax, cavitation, a little bit of similar. And then we had our nail shop down literally in the same building. So it was a beauty building, okay, of just different women. And it was a lot of women that all were bringing in clients, okay? So like I said, there's clients for everyone. So back to what I was saying. Treat your clients respectfully because they're the ones that are paying your bills. And if you don't want to be in this industry and you don't want to cater to these women and be just respectful, I would say don't be in it. Don't, if you're not about, basically if you're an emotional person, don't be in this industry because they're going to make you upset. Clients cancel. Clients have emergencies. Clients don't want to show up sometimes. Like there's a little bit of everything and you have to be understanding, but you also have to have policies. That's what the policies are for. So I think I have a great relationship with my clients. They'll let me know in advance. I have policies. They respect it. But I also have a relationship with my clients where it's different. It just all depends on you, but still business is business. Okay. Don't confuse the two. Just remember that you're not, they can do this themselves. They're giving you their money. So, yeah, be kind to your clients. Be professional. Thank you. Be professional because they're the reason why you have that career, why you're in business. Okay. And if you don't want them as a client, it's as simple as, you know what? I am not the one for you. I am sure you can find somebody else. And it could be respectful. It doesn't have to be disrespectful. Okay. So we're getting to the end. So then I had the building. I had my studio. I turned into BXBR Studio. I closed my studio down in 2023 after my separation. And I'll be honest with you, that was probably the best thing that I could have done. Did it hurt? 100%. That was my baby. The reason why it also succeeded so much is because I put so much time into it when I was going through what I was going through in my relationship. That kept me sane. I invested all my energy into it and it flourished. So to have it closed down was very tragic, but it's something that I needed to do to be able to start over in my new chapter of life. And I've been there, done that. I succeeded it. All the successes that I had at the time, to be honest with you, I didn't even have time to sit on that and embrace what I had achieved because it was clouded by so much other things that I was going through. And now that I look back and now saying all this out loud, it's crazy what I accomplished and what I did. And I am starting over, but I'm not starting from scratch because I know the foundations already and I know how to build. Am I taking my time 100%? There's reasons why. But so I'm back to being an independent artist. I rent a studio in another beauty shop, salon. And I am rebuilding my business. I am finding the love for it again, the passion for it again. And to be honest with you, I love what I do. I love speaking to women. Not only do I love speaking to women, but I love making women feel beautiful about themselves. And I get paid for it. So to me, I love coming to work. Even it's gotten me through a lot of tough times. My girls have turned into friends, family members. I go to their baby showers. We've gone through divorces. We've gone through everything together. Okay. And it's been beautiful. And don't get discouraged by what people are saying. Really follow your passion. It could be anything. If you're artistic, if you paint, if you what, turn it into a business, turn it into a career. If you're good at, I don't know, whatever it is, you get me, whatever it is that you like to do, you can your hobby could be turned into your career. And you can get paid for that. And to be honest, the most successful people are the ones that enjoy what they do. They turn their passions into fruit of labor and it turns into a career. And I am literally living through that. And with that being said, you know, that is my little story on how I got into this industry. And I love it. I love what I do. I love helping women, and not only helping women, but I'm able to make them feel good about themselves, and it helps pay my bills, feed my children. I'm very grateful for all my clients that have stood through this separation of mine, because it hasn't been easy. They've seen me struggle, and it, you know, I've had to do a lot of changing things around, so they've stuck with me. But I feel like, you know, you can find your community, not only in friendships, but in your career. And it's about, like I said, branding yourself. So I hope you guys found this episode helpful. Yes.
Isn't ironic that other women
started? Yeah. Marlo. No. Yes. So to me, it's like, this is a thing though. They're sitting here waving this paper around. And they feel like that paper makes them feel better, right? When in reality, that paper just is allowing me to legally work. It didn't teach me my skill. It didn't teach me my approach to clients. Okay, because let's be honest here. When you're in this industry, an entrepreneur is harder than having a 9-to-5 because it's crazy. Now I'm able to schedule around my schedule, right? And how I'd like. But it took me years of hard work to get here, to get to a schedule. Everything that we promote and that we use as marketing, 100, get reach 100, reach 6 figures. That's true. But at the same time, there's cost to be in the business, okay? But you definitely can make that. What else? The figures, the making the money. Okay. What was the other one? You had me going, Marlo. It was making the 6 figures. It was, having everything. Oh yes. The approach to the clientele, photography. I had to be my own photographer. I had to a social media manager. I had to reply. Literally, it's a full-time job. Being an entrepreneur is a full-time job because we're hustling. We're constantly, our brain is never shutting off. It's, you know it. And we're not being directed, guided. We're literally learning by our mistakes. We're learning how to manage. We're learning how to run. We're learning how to pay ourselves. We're learning how to do inventory. We're learning how to photography, videography. We're marketing, all that. And it's just, we have a million hats on top of what we have at home. You get me? So it's not for everyone. I realized after educating and teaching people too, that there's a people that are, that need to be told and how to, they're workers. And then there's the people that are, so, yeah. So I think you just have to literally look into your personality, get to know who you are. Who are you? Do I do better under management and somebody telling me what to do and guidance? Or, you know what? I don't want to be told what to do. I want to work for myself. Let me try to find what works for me. So it's literally you getting to know yourself and what you, how you work, okay? And what works for you. But for sure, don't get discouraged by the outside noise. Stay focused. Don't let the haters that think they're better than people bring you down. We all start somewhere. Let's be humble about it. even though I've had many successes and I know that I can do, I've done a lot in my career and I know what I'm capable of. At the end of the day, I've stayed humble. I stayed thanking God every day because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, to be honest with you. But it hasn't been easy to get to where I can schedule around, where I can have time for my children, where I can. It hasn't been easy. It's been a work. And then because I'm rebuilding again, you know, it's not the same, but we're getting it done. And don't just do it. Just do it. Okay. Bye, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.